Today's reading is from the Book of Acts, chapter 5, and we'll play at verse 12 through to 42. All on the Bibles on the screen. The apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people. And all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats, so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by evil spirits, and all of them were healed. Then the high priest and all his associates, who were members of the party of the Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put in public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. "Go stand in the temple courts," he said, "and tell the people the full message of this new life." At daybreak, they entered the temple courts as they had been told and began to teach the people. When the high priest and his associates arrived, they called together the Sanhedrin, the full assembly of the elders of Israel, and sent to the jail for the apostles. But on arriving at the jail, the officers did not find them there, so they went back and reported, "We found the jail securely locked, with the guards standing at the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside." On hearing this report, the captain of the temple guard and the chief priests were puzzled, wondering what would come of this. And someone came and said, "Look, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts teaching the people." At that, the captain went with his officers and brought the apostles. They did not use force because they feared the people would stone them. Having brought the apostles, they made them appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name," he said, "yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." Peter and the apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Saviour, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." When they heard this, they were furious and wanted to put him to death. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, who was honoured by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered that the men be put outside for a little while. Then he addressed them, "Men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do to these men. Some time ago, Theudas appeared, claiming to be somebody, and about 400 men rallied to him. He was killed, and all his followers were dispersed, and it all came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean appeared in the days of the census and led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed, and all his followers were scattered. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go, for if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God." His speech persuaded them. They called the apostles in and had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. The apostles left the Sanhedrin, rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Do you want to go out with the children?
Yes, let me pray for us before I speak. Father God, please open our ears to hear what you're saying to us by your Holy Spirit. Please help us listen and receive your word with faith, store it in our hearts, and practice it in our lives. Amen. Meet Simon. He's a politician from a rich family, a relative of the high priest, but he's not religious. Politics is a rough game in the province of Judea. Between the brutal Romans and the overly religious Jews, it's tricky keeping things in any kind of peace and order. realize that it's best just to keep in line with the people in charge. And I mean, like Romans, makes a much better friend than enemy. And they're happy to return a favor when we're trying to keep things quiet. Brewing revolutions are nothing but trouble for everyone. Sometimes it's hard keeping a lid on them all. Meet Phil. He's a teacher, well respected in the community. He comes from a group of respected teachers and lawyers, as scribes. They help the Jewish community to keep their ancient laws by promoting new traditions that make the laws harder to break. Phil's not so in love with the Romans, it's Sam. In fact, he hopes and expects that one day soon, God will send a leader, a Messiah, to end the Roman occupation of their land. He looks forward to greater freedom for his community and his nation, and he's doing his best to help. Our story today takes us back 2,000 years and around the world to the Roman province of Judea, around 30 AD. 2,000 years ago, the Sanhedrin was the Senate and the Supreme Court of the Jewish nation. This council of 71 men, led by the high priest, they met at the great temple in Jerusalem and judged cases and made laws. 71 elders represented their people and ruled them. Now, there are a couple of important factions represented in this council. The majority were Sadducees, like our made-up friend Sam, but a significant minority were from the Pharisee party, like Phil. Now, around AD 30, an important case came before this council, the Sanhedrin. A man named Jesus of Nazareth was accused of blasphemy. Jesus was accused of claiming to be the Messiah, the King God had promised through the prophets. The King God promised to rescue and rule his people. He was accused of claiming to be the Son of God. The Sanhedrin condemned him and handed him over to the Roman government to be executed, providing trumped-up charges. We found this man subverting our nation. He opposes payment of taxes to Caesar, which he didn't, and claims to be Messiah, a king, which he did. The governor found him not guilty, but they insisted on his execution, which the governor eventually agreed to. So you can imagine their reaction when only months later, some men are causing a commotion by proclaiming the resurrection from the dead and using Jesus as the example. We read a couple of weeks ago in this service, in Acts chapter 4, what happened? Peter and John healed a crippled man in Jesus' name. The Sadducees had them arrested, put them in jail overnight, and questioned them in the morning. Peter told the council, Jesus was responsible for the healing. And salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. The Sadducees ordered them to stop thinking about Jesus. But Peter and John bluntly refused, saying, which is right in God's eyes? To listen to you or to him? You'd be the judges. Today's story resumes shortly thereafter. The apostles continue to proclaim Jesus' death and resurrection. Many men are believing in Jesus. And now, instead of one cripple being healed, many people are coming out into the streets and being healed. Then the high priest took action. He and all his colleagues, members of the Sadducee party, were filled with jealousy. And this time they arrested not just Peter and John, but all the apostles and put them in jail. But this time the jail doesn't hold them. An angel of the Lord rescues them from jail and commands them to continue preaching, saying, go and stand in the temple courts and tell the people all about this new life. There are two courts at work here, and one has greater authority than the other. The Sanhedrin is telling the apostles not to preach about Jesus, but God is very clearly telling them to preach about this new life that's available in Jesus' name. And he lets them out of jail so that they can continue. Life is at stake, and they're bound to tell people the good news. Think of the situation in the morning. The high priest and the Sadducees get called together, the whole council of the Sanhedrin, the full assembly of the elders of Israel. The Senate and Supreme Court is in session. They send to the jail for the apostles. But they're gone. The officers report, we found the jail securely locked with the guards standing at the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside. Of course, they're at a loss. Where is the power they're so accustomed to? Someone random comes in and says, look, the men you put in jail, they're standing in the temple courts teaching the people. Their powerlessness is public. The Sadducees put the apostles in jail, but here they are, preaching in the temple courts, right next door to where the Sanhedrin are meeting, maybe 100 meters away, and they have no idea. They arrest them again, but they did not use force because they feared that the people would stone them. They're not afraid of God, but they're afraid of these crowds. The apostles nevertheless come before the council willingly. So the apostles are standing before the Sanhedrin a second time. They're accused of exactly the same charge as the first time. We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. They're indignant at the suggestion that they kill Jesus unlawfully and dismiss it. Their main concern is for the apostles to stop preaching the good news about Jesus' death and resurrection. Their reputation is being damaged. It has to stop. The charge hasn't changed, and neither does Peter's response. We must obey God rather than human beings. I'm sure if you asked the high priest that day in the abstract whether one should obey God or obey humans, they would tell you without hesitation, you should obey God. But this council continues to oppose God in the face of his offer of repentance and forgiveness. And once again, the apostles boldly proclaim this forbidden good news to the Sanhedrin. The God of our ancestors, they say, the same God the Sanhedrin claimed to worship. This God raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a cross. They sentenced him to death, but God gave him life. The Sanhedrin judged Jesus guilty, but God overturned the ruling of that human court by raising Jesus from the dead. And this court only months later has no evidence to the contrary. Nobody, no witnesses of any kind of foul play. God raised Jesus from the dead. And this Sanhedrin says, just stop talking about it. God has vindicated his appointed King of the Jews and of the whole world, and this human court vainly tries to suppress the announcement. Peter tells the Sanhedrin, God exalted him to his own right hand as prince. Jesus is God's king and rightful ruler, with authority far above the Sanhedrin. And how is God's appointed King Jesus going to deal with his rebellious people? God exalted him as prince and savior, that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgive their sins. The offer is there. And the good news that the apostles are bound to preach. Israel and even this evil council must repent, turn away from their rebellion, and turn back to God. And they can be forgiven out of God's overflowing mercy. Friends, all humans, including you and I, naturally opposes God as much as these Sadducees. And our greatest need is for a way to get back on side with our Creator and Ruler. Jesus died. Not for anything he did wrong, but for the evil that these men and we have committed. He died to purchase forgiveness for his people. And although this is a very Jewish story about Jews, as Acts unfolds, we see this forgiveness is proclaimed more broadly throughout the whole world. So it's available even here and now to you and me. Jesus died taking upon himself the sins of the world, even our sin. And God vindicated him by raising him from the dead. By accepting the repentance and forgiveness that he offers, we too can share in his new life. And the apostles are bound to proclaim this good news. We are witnesses of these things, they tell the Sanhedrin. And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. They've seen these things with their own eyes, and the Holy Spirit living within them compels them to testify to the truth of what they've seen. Jesus' death and resurrection, marking him out as an authority above any human court. The rest of Acts records the spread of this unstoppable good news throughout the Roman Empire, and it continues to spread today as the Holy Spirit illuminates the teaching of the apostles that's written down in the New Testament. Back in Acts 2, Peter had preached this same good news to a crowd of Jews assembled for a festival. And their response was very different to that of the Sanhedrin we read today. They were cut to the heart and they asked, what must we do to be saved? Peter explained, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But the Sanhedrin, on the other hand, do not obey God. On the contrary, they decide to execute Jesus' followers in the same way they executed Jesus, as brutally and as unjustly. But God rescues his apostles again, the Pharisees in the name. Gamaliel was the most famous teacher in Israel at the time, and while he's no fan of Jesus, he argues that the council should reserve judgment and implement his wait-and-see policy. Many rebel groups have risen up against Rome, but none have lasted long. So he says, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go, for their purpose or activities of human origin will fail. But if it's from God, you won't be able to stop these men. You'll only find yourselves fighting against God. Don't fight against God. The Sanhedrin held all the cards. The wealth and power of the temple and Rome, the nobles and lawyers, plenty of physical manpower. And with all this authority, they couldn't keep the apostles in jail one night. They couldn't stop them announcing the good news of Jesus, the Savior King, for a single day. They were powerless to use force against them, fearing the people. They were powerless to sentence them. And in the end, they let them go with exactly the same orders they gave previously. Exactly the same orders the apostles promised to disobey. And have continually disobeyed even during the court session. God demonstrates his authority over this council and continues to advance the announcement of his good news. God has put Jesus in charge and the announcement will not be stopped. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they'd been kept worthy of suffering disgrace for their name. And never stopped proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah, God's appointed king. So this was their first physical punishment for proclaiming Jesus' name. And there would have been blood. But they'd heard Jesus say, blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. One of Gamaliel's students, Paul, put it this way, we are God's children, and if children, also heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ, provided that we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that the sufferings in this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is going to be revealed to us. So, did you obey God or oppose him? Our friends Simon and Phil from earlier were just ordinary guys doing their best. Simon wasn't religious. Phil was serving the God he thought he knew, the best he knew how, but blinded by other allegiances, they killed God's king and continued to oppose Jesus' authority, setting themselves up as judges in Jesus' place. Who's in charge in your world? Does money run the world? Are other people in control? Are you ultimately in charge of your own destiny? 1,000 years before our story, King David wrote about such pretenders. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, as for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I'll follow the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I've begotten you. Ask of me, and I'll make the nations your heritage, the ends of the earth your possession. You will break them with a rod of iron, and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Now therefore, O kings, be wise, be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. Friends, if you're already on God's side and willingly obey Jesus as King, then you too are witnesses. You and the Holy Spirit who God gives to those who obey him. You're free from any other authority who would oppress you, from politicians to corporations to yourself and subject to Jesus. Consider two things today, please. Firstly, in what way Am I still in King Jesus' gifts of repentance and forgiveness? And secondly, how is the Holy Spirit calling and empowering me to further the announcement of the good news of King Jesus, his death and resurrection? We need to remind ourselves of these things, as well as letting folk know who don't yet know. God has appointed his King, Jesus. If you don't know Jesus as your King, I urge you to listen to the good news the apostles announced to the Sanhedrin. Jesus offers today what he offered them: repentance and forgiveness of sin, a whole new life, if you will obey him. Read these eyewitness testimonies about Jesus' death and resurrection, written down by Luke and others who are involved firsthand in the things they write about, during the lifetimes of other eyewitnesses. If Jesus lived and taught, died and was raised in the way the apostles describes, then he demands from you too your verdict or your loyalty. Read Luke and Acts, perhaps with someone you know as a Christian. Please speak to me or one of the other leaders here after the service if you'd like to discuss or pray about any of these things. Let me pray as I finish. Father God, thank you that you sent your King Jesus to offer repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel and to the whole world. By your Holy Spirit, please help us now and each day to abandon our sin, embrace your forgiveness, and live new lives in obedience to your Son, our Lord Jesus the Messiah, who is alive and reigns with you. Amen.